for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, November the 25th, 1988. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Gene Moody is the teacher of the afternoon. Gene is an engineer by trade. That's his profession. But his work is working for the Lord. Amen.
Earlene is in Chattanooga. She's taking care of her mother's estate. She's selling her furniture, and they're selling the house. Her mother's in a nursing home. Otherwise, we'd be together. We were together as husband and wife, as minister and minister's wife. Earlene is a minister, capable minister in her own right. And his grandparents and his lovers and what all goes with being with husband and wife. I like to just praise God. Satan attacked me. Apparently he knew I was coming even before I knew it. And he tried to give me a sore throat. So I prayed and I got my son-in-law and my daughter to pray for me just before I left. And God healed my throat on the way up here. So praise God. And here again, you know, it's interesting how we have to learn to pray specifically. And so I asked them to pray for my sore throat, which they did. And I didn't think about asking them to pray for anything else. And I've got a sinus drippage. And well, I still got the sinus drippage, but God healed my sore throat. So you need to be specific with God. You need to tell God what you want Him to do. Don't just pray a general prayer, Lord, save all the people in the world. No, Lord, save my wife or my husband or whatever. Now, the greatest need in the church today is for the preachers and the fivefold ministry to preach the whole Word of God. I'm talking about from beginning to end. And to practice deliverance for every Christian. As you notice that Jerry seems to have lost his inhibition to tell the truth. He has no inhibition of telling the truth. He gets up and tells it like it is. And I like that. I like to hear preachers who've got the guts to get up and tell it like it is. Because why do we perish? We perish for lack of knowledge. And so I'm just blessed when people tell the truth. Now you see, if we read out of the Word of God and it shakes you up, that's too bad. So if the Word of God convicts you or shakes you up, praise God. Lost me again? Okay, sound like I'm coming in and out here. Okay, praise the Lord. Looks like I'm on there. If the Word of God convicts you, then so be it. Then you need to do something about it. If one of us gets up here and says something that offends you, well, as Jerry says, we apologize for offending you. But basically, we're trying to stir you up. Today, praise God, I'm glad there's some young people here. But as you see the children, so you see the parents, and so you see the nation. And if you look at your children, you can look at yourself. If you look at some problems in the lives of your children, you can see problems that you have made. I found this article when I went to the dentist. It's called The Children's Hour. It's published by U.S. News and World Report, November 7, 1988. I want you to listen to this. This is a state of our society. In one day, 2,753 teenagers get pregnant, 1,099 teenagers have abortions, 367 teens miscarry, 1,287 teenagers give birth, 666 babies are born to women who have had inadequate prenatal care. In one day, 72 babies die before 1 month of life, 110 babies die before their first birthday, 9 children die from gunshot wounds, 5 teenagers commit suicide, 609 teenagers get gonorrhea or syphilis. In one day, 988 children are abused, 3,288 children run away from home, 49,322 children are in public juvenile correctional facilities, 2,269 illegitimate children are born, 2,989 kids see their parents divorced. All right, you see a picture of the children in our society? Why do you think the children are that way? Well, it's primarily the parents. Now, why do I emphasize that? Well, as an engineer, I like to see statistics. If I can see the statistics of the nation, I can tell you how the nation is going. I can tell you what's going wrong with the nation, how to remedy the problems in the nation. And it really tells me a lot. And our nation is in trouble. Now, today, you may think this is a real simple message. Can a Christian have a demon? Okay, we're going to see what the Bible says about that. I spent an hour and a half last week talking on the telephone with a minister out in Washington, D.C. about this subject, can a Christian have a demon, his beliefs. And he writes a newsletter that, or actually he critiques different people. The last time he critiqued Rebecca and Elaine and their books, the two books that they wrote for Chick Publications. And I spent an hour and a half on the telephone with him. I want to find out, did he really understand that a Christian can have a demon on the inside? See, first of all, you got the body of believers that don't know there's anything about demons, or they don't even know that Satan is alive. You know, it's just all foreign to them. Then you get into the body of believers that believe in Satan and demons, but all the demons are on the outside. Then finally you get to the body of believers that know that the demons are on the inside. So this is, most of you, I'm sure, probably out there, if I were to take a poll, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I suspect most of you would say you would know that a Christian can have a demon within his body and within his soul. So this tape is not only for you, but it's also for people as this tape goes around the world. This is a $64,000 question about deliverance. Can a Christian have a demon? Okay, let's see what the Word of God says. I'm going to take you through a Bible drill, and these are all in order. You go from front to the back of the New Testament. It's easy for you to find, and I'm going to go through these pretty fast. So get your Bibles out and turn to Matthew chapter 12. Now I'm just going to go through the New Testament. Actually, the whole Word of God, it's just, there's deliverance test scripture from front to back. But here I'm dealing mainly with, can a Christian have a demon? So Matthew chapter 12, 43 through 45. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the life state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Okay, this is talking about a non-Christian. Okay, you as a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit within you. And I find it very interesting. The Lord has never told me to cast a demon out of a non-Christian. By and large, the people we minister to are full gospel Christians. If a person comes to us for help and they're not a Christian, the first thing we do is try to lead them into salvation. If they're unwilling to accept Jesus Christ on His terms, then we show them the front door. Matthew chapter 15, 22 through 28. Matthew 15, 22 through 28. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So, deliverance is the children's bread. How many of you are children of God? Raise your hand. Okay. Any difference between being a child of God and a Christian? Think of the same thing? Okay, Mark 1, 23 through 27. Mark chapter 1, verses 23 through 27. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch as they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. So this was a man in the synagogue. Do you think he was a believer? Okay, Mark 1, 39 through 42. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. How about that? Jesus went throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Well, we ought to go throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Okay, so Jesus cast out devils in the synagogues. That's a church, right? That was a Jewish church. Mark 7, 25 through 30. Mark 7, 25 through 30. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs on the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon a bed. Okay, this here again is the children's bread. Yeah, I really admire that woman. She had great faith, didn't she? And God rewarded her faith, and her daughter was healed by the casting out of demons. Okay, Mark 8, 33. Mark 8, verse 33. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. So Jesus called Peter Satan. Do you think Satan entered Peter? He's right there with him. Okay, Mark 9, 17 through 29. Mark 9, 17 through 29. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tarried him. He fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire, into the waters, to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. When he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. All right, this was a believer's son. And also another interesting point. There have been times we've had to fast and pray and get the people we were ministering to fast and pray to get demons out. Luke 4, 38 through 39. Luke 4, 38 through 39. And he rose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Okay, a spirit of fever is a demon. And Jesus cast out this demon of this woman, I'm sure, who believed upon him. Luke 11, 24 through 26. Luke 11, 24 through 26. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. He saith, I will return to my house whence I came out. When he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and enter in and dwell there, and the life state of that man is worse than the first. Okay, this is talking about a non-Christian. And let me correct a mistake that I hear quite often. Notice in verse 20, Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the life state of that man is worse than the first. How many times have you heard somebody say the life state of the man was seven times worse than the first? No, it's just worse, not seven times worse. Luke 13, 11 through 17. Luke 13, 11 through 17. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bound together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord then answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound low these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Okay, this woman was a daughter of Abraham. Is that a believer? Luke 22:3. Luke chapter 22:3. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. So Satan entered Judas. Now, it's a real interesting point. You think Judas, at that time, believed in Jesus Christ? He was with him for 3 years. Interesting point. I wonder if he believed in him. Well, if he did, there's Satan entering into Judas. Okay, Acts 5:3-4. Acts chapter 5, verses 3 through 4. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." Okay, were Ananias and Sapphira believers? They were part of the congregation. They probably were. They just decided to try to trick God. Didn't work too well. They died. Okay, Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 7 and verse 13. Okay, Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 7. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. And verse 13. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Okay, Simon believed. Okay, I'm going to get on down to him in a minute. He gave heed to the things spoken of Christ. Now let's look at verses 20 through 24. But Peter said unto him, this is Simon, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast sought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray you the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me." All right, Simon was a believer. This is what happened to him. Acts 10:38. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Okay, sickness is an oppression of Satan. Many times we see people heal through the casting out of demons. And these are Christians. Okay, 1 Corinthians 5:1-5. 1 Corinthians 5:1-5. "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you." That's among the Christians. "And such fornication," it's done like today, "and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath done so, that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ." All right, this was a believer in Corinth that was delivered to Satan. And later on, he said, you know, after he repents, take him back into fellowship. 2 Corinthians 2:10-11. 2 Corinthians 2:10-11. "To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Okay, this is talking about Satan getting an advantage of the believer. And he will take advantage of you if you are ignorant of his devices. And one of the purposes of coming to Lake Hammond the Bible Camp is so you won't be ignorant of his devices, to get some knowledge up here. And don't just depend on Lake Hammond the Bible Camp. You're going to have to work in your own home to get knowledge. Okay, 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. 2 Corinthians 11, 3 through 4. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which we have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Okay, he's talking about believers receiving another spirit. Well, many times believers do receive other spirits called demons. They receive demons of false teaching, false preaching, false prophecy, heresy, damnable doctrines, and so forth. And this simplicity just sort of stuck out in my mind. Do you realize that having a relationship with Jesus Christ is a very simple relationship? You don't need anybody between you and Jesus Christ. You don't need any ornaments, any pictures of Jesus, nothing. Just a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's very cheap. It's very economical. It's very wonderful. Don't get anything between you and Jesus. Okay, 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9. Unless I should be exalted above measure, though the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. All right, this is Paul's messenger of Satan in the flesh. That's a demon. God sent a demon to Paul so he wouldn't get the big head. Paul went to heaven and saw revelations so great that he couldn't even report them to man. So this is just simply, and Paul was an extremely intelligent person, so this is just simply God keeping Paul humble. It's a demon. Was Paul a Christian? Okay, Galatians 3:1. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? Okay, the Galatians were bewitched by spirits, or demons. A lot of people in the church are bewitched. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Okay, this is talking about the influence of Satan in our lives. Ephesians chapter 4, 26 through 27. Ephesians chapter 4, 26 through 27. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Okay, this is... How many of you have gone to bed angry at night? How many of you let the sun set on your anger? Well, you've given place to the devil. As I see it, it's many times it's given a right for demons to enter into you. Now, what should you have done before the sun set? Well, you should have gotten rid of your anger and forgiven that person or yourself for whatever happened. So don't give place to the devil. 1 Timothy 1, 18 through 20. 1 Timothy 1, 18 through 20. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. All right, Hymenaeus and Alexander were believers. You know, one of the things that we have seen, we've seen a lot of Christians come into the church, especially in the full gospel church, praise God and get the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in other tongues, get healed or whatever, jump up and down, shout hallelujah, next thing you know they're gone. It may take weeks or months. Why were they gone? They never received deliverance. A lot of Christians fall by the wayside because they don't get deliverance. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 2. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Okay, believers departing from faith. How can you depart from faith if you don't have it? If you got the faith, are you a Christian? 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Okay, God is talking about us recovering out of the snare of the devil. Hebrews 12, 15 through 16. Hebrews 12, 15 through 16. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Okay, as you know, bitterness is a demon. Actually, bitterness is a family of demons. Bitterness will defile you. It'll defile your marriage. It'll defile your children. It'll defile your health. Bitterness is frequently the entrance for cancer and arthritis. If you know a Christian who has cancer or arthritis, first check them out for bitterness. See if they have unforgiveness for someone who's hurt them. Especially Christians. Many times Christians hurt other Christians. And we have unforgiveness. It's repressed unforgiveness for other Christians. That can be very damaging. James 4, 6 through 8. James 4, 6 through 8. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Okay, the devil will flee from you. You see the conditions there? You're just going to say, devil, flee from me? No. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Well, if you're truly submitted to God, then the devil will flee from you. But if you're not, the devil won't flee from you. And Bill taught a real good lesson on pride today to the men. We had a good little service there. Why do you see men and women of God, some that I think are even of the most advanced, many times they have even entered in deliverance, why do you see them falling by the wayside, getting into false doctrines? I heard somebody say it out loud, pride. Say that word, pride. Pride. Do you want pride? It'll destroy you. Okay, 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. Okay, this is the last scripture I'm going to use. Be sober, be vigilant, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Okay, as brethren, we will have afflictions. I don't know of any way to get away from afflictions. I know of any way to keep Satan from attacking me and Earlene. Now, we do have a right to fight back. That's a beautiful thing. We can't keep him attacking, but we got a right to attack back. Okay, we will have afflictions and persecutions if you're walking for the Lord. Okay, now let's look at, can a Christian have a demon in general? There is nowhere in the Bible that explicitly says a Christian can have a demon. It does talk about believers having demons. Are you a believer? What is the difference? None. Okay, how many of you believe that the King James Bible is the only version? Well, it's probably a number of you here. You don't have to raise your hands. Now, the fact that you can't find a verse in here in the King James Bible in 1988 in the United States of America, where we speak English, that says specifically that a Christian can have a demon, does that mean that a Christian can't have a demon? No. Do you think that the verses that I showed you are enough for anyone who's got an open mind to see that Christians clearly can have demons? And Jesus cast out demons out of the believers. The multitudes that came to Jesus received deliverance. Some were bound to be believers. Can you imagine him ministering days upon day out in the desert with thousands of people casting out demons and none of these were believers? Sort of impossible, isn't it? You can memorize the Bible and go to hell. No part of the Bible is any good to you unless it is used. Head knowledge will not get you to heaven. It takes heart knowledge. Bible scholars can argue about theology until Jesus comes again and not settle the question of whether a Christian can have a demon. It takes experience. I know some people who are extremely well educated, have doctor's degrees, and they'll argue with you and write papers that a Christian can't have a demon. They're dead wrong. Okay, so you can't argue with people. If you don't believe a Christian can have a demon, I can't argue you down. I'm not trying to argue you down. When you start casting demons out of people, you find that Christians not only have demons, but they have many demons. And Earl and I have been ministering now for about 13 to 14 years, somewhere along in there. We have worked with thousands of people. We've worked anywhere with one person, a husband and wife, a family. We've worked with small groups in our home. We've worked with large groups. We've worked in individual deliverance. We've worked in mass deliverance. About every way you can think of, we've tried it and worked with people. We've taught people to be deliverance workers. And what we first we got started, we'd cast out a few demons. Boy, we really thought we were doing something great, you know. We may cast out two or three demons out of someone in a nightstand, and we really thought we were doing something. Then as time went on, we started counting demons. And we'd minister to people for weeks and months and sometimes years, like once a week we'd minister with people. And we used to count demons. We used to write their names down, what their rank was, and how many demons that they controlled. If this was a captain, he had 100 and so forth. And we'd make the demons talk to us and tell us. So we did that. We thought you had to do that at that time. We no longer do that anymore. So what we found through the years is we found that Christians are very demonized. You're not demon-possessed. You're possessed by Jesus Christ. But you're demonized. You have many demons. We found that Christians can have thousands of demons. We found out that demons are very common. I say they're as common as weeds. Well, really, they're not as common as weeds. But there's some multiplied billions of demons in the world. There's more than enough demons to go around. For every person, there's 4 billion people in the world to have their share of demons. And I've told you, if a Christian can have thousands of demons, what about the non-Christian? Okay, so very simply, Christians are very demonized. You are very demonized, unless you've had extensive deliverance. Now, what was even more startling is a number of years back, the Lord moved us into the ministry with pastors and the fivefold ministry. You know what they are, teachers, preachers, pastors, apostles, evangelists. And I thought, boy, now here's Earlene and I. I'm not a pastor. I have a pastor. I go to a church in Baton Rouge. So I'm not a pastor. So here God begins to bring the pastors along and their families. I say, wow, you know, used to I had them up on the pulpit, on the pedestal, you see, which is wrong. I thought they were better than I was and whatnot. And so God began to show them. He brought them down to my level. He began to show me that they're demonized. They're about as bad as a congregation. I says, wow, look at all the demons in the fivefold ministry. Well, then time rocked along. And here are the most recent experience that Earlene and I have had is God is now sending the deliverance ministers to us for deliverance. Well, they have their share of demons too. Okay? Now, if Christians, the average congregationalist, if the fivefold ministry, if even those who minister deliverance, still have many demons, then what is simply the state of Christianity? Very simply, we have a lot of demons. Now, I wouldn't tell you that Earlene and I don't have any demons. I've been through the years, we've received deliverance. And every now and then, we'll run into something that we don't know we've got. See, demons can remain dormant. They don't necessarily have to act up. They're smart. They'll wait. They'll remain dormant until they can get you. They're looking for that opportunity to blast you out of your ministry or blast you out of your marriage or blast you out of the church or out of your Christianity or whatever. So the fact that the demon is not manifesting within you doesn't mean he's not there. They're smart. They have had Satan and the demons have had thousands of years to figure out how to destroy you, how to trap you. They know human nature, and they're good at it, and they work 24 hours a day to destroy you. So take it from me. Christians are very demonized. What's the biggest need in Christianity? Deliverance. Okay, as I read to you about those children, it was pitiful, wasn't it? Now, if I had the time, I could tell you in many cases why those children got in the condition they're in. We see it again and again and again. See, what the Lord does in our life is He develops patterns. Now, I don't stand up here and tell you about some individual who got deliverance. The Lord told me not to do that years ago. He said, if they want to tell about their deliverance, then let them tell about it. Early and I get up here and tell you about our deliverance and what God has done in our life and how He set us free. But we sit down and we spend countless hours with people finding out their histories. I can tell you why people get into trouble. I can tell you why the world needs deliverance. It's really quite simple. If people just get rid of their demons, they'd be able to live the Christian life. Their children wouldn't have all these problems. I'm not saying it would eliminate all the problems, but it would drastically change Christianity. I can tell you why some of the Christian leaders have fallen from grace. When you get in deliverance, your eyes are really open. If you want to see what it's like in the spirit world, well, get involved with deliverance. I mean, boy, I have really gotten an education this last 13 to 14 years, and I'm still learning. It's a constant learning experience. How am I going to learn in a few measly years what Satan has spent thousands of years setting up to trap the human race? No. All deliverance ministers will tell you it's a constant learning experience. Now, warning signals, possible need for deliverance. Characteristics noted below merit a closer look when they are pronounced, persistent, or recurrent over a period of time, or progressive, tending to become more rather than less extreme. Okay, now I want you to check yourself out as I give you these warnings. This is just one list of warnings. It's not complete. But if you have these problems, then chances are you may need deliverance. 1. Confused or disordered thinking, loss of touch with reality, delusions, persistence of erroneous convictions in the face of contrary evidence, hallucinations, disconnected speech. 2. Obsessions. Absorption with a subject or idea to the exclusion of others, compulsions, uncontrollable urges. Think of this as a list of demons as I read. I'm going to use it in mass deliverance. Inability to cope with minor problems with daily routine. 4. Difficulty in making or keeping friends, poor social skills, isolation, withdrawal from society, loner lifestyle. 5. A pattern of failure across the board, at school, at work, in sports, in personal relationships. 6. Prolonged or severe depression, suicide threats and attempts. 7. Immaturity, infantile behavior, such as bedwetting, overdependence on the mother, excessive clinging as a child, continuing dependence in teens and 20s, failure to keep pace with a peer group. Okay, mainly we got parents here and grandparents. Well, think about your children. 8. A series of physical ailments which do not run a typical course and or fail to respond to treatment. 9. Neglect of personal hygiene, disheveled and unsanitary surroundings, or exaggerated concern for order and for cleanliness. 10. Difficulty adjusting to new people and places. 11. Undue anxiety and worry, phobias, feelings of being persecuted. 12. Too much or too little sleep. 13. Excessive self-centeredness, indifference to other people's feelings, doings, ideas, lack of sympathy with another's pain or need. 14. Substantial rapid weight gain or loss. 15. Muted flat emotions, absence of angry, delighted, sorry, and reactions to stimuli. Or inappropriate emotions, sharp, inexplicable mood swings, silliness at serious moments, unpredictable tears. 16. Negative self-image and outlook, inferiority complex, feelings of worthlessness. 17. Frequent random changes of plans, inability to stick with a job, a school program, a living arrangement, failure to meet appointments, abide by decisions. 18. Extreme aggressiveness, combativeness, hostility, violence, rage, or exaggerated docility, lack of normal competitiveness and self-assertion, refusal to confront, avoidance of argument. 19. Risk-taking. 20. Lack of zest and enthusiasm, listlessness, sadness, mood habitually down, limited or missing sense of humor. Okay, that's one list that you can check yourself out by and check your children out by. If you have those problems, the chances are that you need deliverance. Now, you know, I look and I say that I think if we were totally free, I believe, that just using Earlene and myself, I believe that Earlene and I would be like Adam and Eve. If we were totally free, we would have 100% of our capabilities. Right now, you're using probably 25% or less of your brain. How would you like to use the other 75%? Okay, I think we would be tremendous people. Look at what Adam did. I mean, you just read the Bible and see what he did. He had a tremendous intellect. I would like to have a tremendous intellect. I'd like to use my brain. rather than sitting there dormant because of some bunch of demons. How can a Christian have demons? These are some excerpts I'm reading. How can a demon spirit indwell the same body at the same time as the Holy Spirit does? As I go through these, think of all these people that have taught you, and they'll use these arguments as the Christian can't have a demon. The Holy Spirit can't be in the same body with a demon. The New Testament word for spirit is pneuma. In contradistinction from the natural or soulish, the spirit is that part of a man which has the ability to grasp and perceive divine things. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The word for soul is psyche. This word defines the self-life, the emotions, the intellect, and the will. Paul shows us that man is a threefold being. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. That's what Jerry's been talking about. The scripture teaches that prior to salvation, a man is dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2:1. Jesus comes into the human spirit and brings in his life. 1 John 5:11 through 12. Jesus has made adequate provision for the whole man, but part of the responsibility now rests upon us, as is shown in the following scripture, Philippians 2:13 through 15. The word for salvation in this passage is soteria. Thayer's lexicon gives as the primary meaning of this word deliverance from the molestation of enemies. The picture becomes clear. Jesus has delivered our spirit from the power of Satan. Now he says unto us, work out our own deliverance from the molestation of enemies until you have freed both soul and body. What did Jerry say this morning? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Is that right? Are you supposed to work out your salvation with fear and trembling? It's not just something you get and put it in your treasure chest at home and wait until you die and go to heaven. No, you have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Not like this. Work out your own deliverance from the molestation of enemies until you have freed both soul and body. Okay, that's what we have to do. That's what we're doing here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. We're working these things out. We're getting rid of these demons. See, when you got saved, that's the whole ball of wax. Now, the people in the traditional church, they say that's the end of it. You got everything. But actually, salvation leads you into the baptism. It leads you into healing. It leads you into deliverance. It just gives you the right to get all these things. And you have to go out and take them. You have to take them away from Satan. And you have to act upon the Bible. See, Jesus died for everybody. Is everybody going to go to heaven? No. Maybe 2% of the world will make it to heaven. Satan's pretty good. He's going to probably take 98% of the people to hell. That's the enemy you have. You have to learn about that enemy. Now, results when demonization of Christians is denied. False teachings are perpetuated by the erroneous and unscriptural position that believers cannot have demons. The following is a partial list of the pitfalls associated with taking such a position. Now, I want you to check yourself out as I go down through some of these false teachings. Think about these people of talking. This is in the traditional church, the full gospel church. The old sin nature becomes a whipping boy and the middle ground between God and the demons. How many people tell you, well, it's just your sin nature, all in your flesh. All you got to do is crucify the flesh. Two, all problems are taught to be a lack of surrender. Well, why don't you surrender your life? Why don't you surrender completely? All you've got to do is completely surrender to God. I get so tired of hearing preachers get up and say, all you got to do is this one thing. You go to meeting after meeting, and this one says all you got to do is pray. This one says all you got to do is fast. And on and on and on. There ain't one thing you got to do. There's the whole thing, the whole Bible. You got to follow the whole Bible. Three, people are left open to be snared into cults by angels of light. We had a real good discussion last night. Some of the best, I'd call them the best. Would you say that's true, Tommy, some of the best? Okay, some of the people that we would call among the best in the leadership of the Christian world got snared into cults. How about that? It's dangerous, I think. Okay, number four, all inherited characteristics are thought to be unchangeable. All right, you go to the doctor, he'll tell you, well, that's inherited. You know, your grandmother had cancer and she died, your mother had cancer and she died, you got cancer, you're going to die too. This is all inherited. Okay, even the Christian world that doesn't believe in demons will say the same thing. And they're out there running to the doctor to take care of their cancer. Okay, demons come down the family line. They're called familiar spirits. If cancer come down your family line, that's a familiar spirit. Somewhere along the line, one of your ancestors blew it with God and opened themselves up to Satan, and they cursed the generations, 3 or 4 generations, 10 generations, or however many. Number five, personality quirks and characteristics are thought to be unchangeable. Well, you're just like you are. That miserable Christian sitting out there, you know, going around destroying churches, destroying families. You're miserable. Can't do anything about it. That's just, you just inherited that. You're going to have to be that way all your life. Nonsense. We've seen many people change. The beautiful thing about deliverance, many times you get to see people change before your very eyes. One of the women will appreciate this. One of the beautiful things I see about women, I get to see them early and I'll take them through deliverance. And many times you'll see them, they look like they've dropped 10 years in age. Why? Because they got rid of demons. Demons that were causing their face to be hard and all tightened up and everything. So you don't have to stay the way you are. Number 6, it makes us unable to break the bondage on another person's will. Okay, God gave us a free will. You've got to give other people free will, and everybody should give you the free will. One of the things that Jerry was talking about, I hate it. How many pastors do you know that try to control their congregation? They're practicing witchcraft on you. Nobody has a right to stand up here and try to control you. Now, if God doesn't try to control you, then what right does a fivefold ministry have to control you? Number 7. Mental health programs which teach all problems of a result of heredity are supported. I know one pastor in town, he says, you know, something goes wrong, well, send them to the psychiatrist. You know, nonsense. I guarantee you, if you learn to follow deliverance according to the Holy Word of God, you can totally eliminate the whole psychiatric profession, psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers, mental institutions. You can eliminate those. But you've got to follow the Word of God, and you've got to enter into deliverance. Number 8, demons are given legal ground to stay when a person sits under the teaching that denies a Christian can have a demon. Okay, if you sit under false teaching, then you, and if you believe it, you know, you entertain it, you support the church, well, you're going to pay the penalty. See, if you're in a church or any type of group, and there's demons over that group, they will affect you. If they don't, then you recognize and you fight back against it. All right, if you have a church, I went to a church one time, had 3 pastors fall in sexual sin. What kind of a demon do you think was over that church? What do you think happened to the people? Why do you think that there was illegitimate births in the church? A lot of marriage and divorce? Why? Because that was one of the ruler demons over the church. Another one of the ruler demons was mind control. The pastor trying to control the congregation for his own selfish benefit. Okay, number 9. Demonic lies about oppression, possession, and so forth are perpetuated. Well, if it's not the demons, what is it? You know, you got to find something to blame it on. You got to find something that says that, okay, I stay this way all alone. I don't change. I'm my own miserable person. So you got to find some excuse. So, all kind of things are said in the Christian world to explain why you are the way you are. Number 10, reinforces spiritual pride which keeps leaders from re-examining their teachers and retracting errors. Now, I could get some of these fellows that travel, like Tommy, to tell you about the spiritual pride that they see among the churches that they go to. It's an abomination to God. The people out there trying to build their kingdom, they want you, they want your money. They want to control you. They want... So much for that. Okay, number 11. Despair and hopelessness are fostered within the demonized. All right, if you can't do anything about your condition and you've prayed and you've fasted and you've cried out with God and you're still your same miserable self, then you get really discouraged, don't you? You know, it's hopeless. You know, I've done everything I know to do and I'm my same miserable self. Okay? So this is one of the reasons people leave the church. They say it's hopeless. You know, I've tried everything, and why might I as well just go back, quit going to church? Number 12, gives ground to accept as law all medical diagnosis and medication. So if it's not demons, then you need the psychiatrists and the mental institutions. You need the doctors and the hospital. You're just going to have to die with your cancer. You're just going to have to be crippled all your life with your crippling arthritis. It's just hopeless. The doctors can't help you. Nonsense. Praise God. Okay. Who is a believer? Because so many promises are given to those who are believers, it is important to know who the Bible classifies as a believer. In the Greek, believe indicates one relying on Jesus Christ for salvation. In Acts 5:14, the word means unadulterated trust. In 1 Timothy 4:12, trueness, to entrust one's spiritual faith assurance, well being. A checklist for believers. Well, check you out. Check yourself out. Now, I really can't look at you and tell for sure whether you're a Christian or not. Sometimes I look at the fruit, and I know pretty well whether you are or not, but I can't always tell. Okay, do you have this? Must bear fruit, John 15:2. The signs will follow. How many of you have signs following you? Really, all of you should. You don't have to be a preacher to have signs following you. A lot of preachers don't have signs following. They should. Okay. Do you have to be a preacher to cast out a demon?
No.
No. Signs will follow those that believe in my name, the name of Jesus Christ. They shall cast out demons. Did that say signs will follow the preachers, teachers, pastors, apostles, prophets? No, not in my Bible it didn't. Yeah, praise God. I just thought of something funny. I was talking with one man, and he was telling me, well, that verse really was not in the original translation. A lot of people have tried to get rid of that verse out of the Bible. Okay, shall do the works that Jesus did. John 14:20. Are you doing the works that Jesus did? Why not? He said we would do even greater works than he did, and that blows me out of the water. But that's what he said. If he said it, I believe it. Okay, answered prayer. John 15:7. Do you have answered prayer? Do you pray and God answers your prayer? All right, are you a friend of Jesus? John 15:14. Do you witness for Jesus Christ? Are you scared in your boots? Are you a closet Christian? You know, I go in my closet and close the door, and then I can be a Christian, but I don't want anybody to know about it. Okay, that's just a little simple checklist. You can check out the fruits of the Spirit, and you can check out the unholy fruits. See how you line up with the fruits of the Spirit and the unholy fruits. Now, I got about 4 pages here that I can quickly read, or I can turn it over to Glenn. Whatever. Okay. Now, this will just help you to understand about what about demons and Christians. These are just excerpts. And I want you to realize that I didn't write all this. Other people have helped me, and I've gotten references and so forth. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such as one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 5:4-5. The apostle here deals with the case of the disobedient and sinful believer in the church at Corinth. We've prayed that prayer sometimes. Sometimes a wife will come to us and she's got an incorrigible husband, and we pray that prayer. But you have to really be sure you want us to pray that prayer. You want to agree with it because we have a right. That's a prayer we have a right to. That's one of the, call it a weapon in your spiritual warfare. In another case, Paul writes, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. 1 Timothy 1:19-20. We read that. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. 2 Timothy 2:25-26. Well, that's a good question. Are you taken captive by Satan at his will? You know, does Satan just come along and, well, just grab you in some area of weakness in your life? When you go into the ministry of casting out demons, inevitably, can't even say it, you are challenged by the question, is it possible for a born-again believer to have a demon? How many times you heard that? In charismatic circles, the question is it possible for a believer who is baptized in the Spirit to have a demon? Absolutely. Absolutely not, comes back the stock answer. The Holy Spirit cannot coexist in the same body with a demon. Actually, the answer to both questions above is definitely yes. Almost 100% of the deliverance ministry we have had has been among the born-again believers, and most of them are baptized in the Spirit Christians also. Like I told you, we have ministered to a very broad range of people, and it's really been a blessing. We've ministered to professionals. We've ministered to the medical profession, to the psychiatric profession, and all in all. It really gives us a good view, overall view, of the Christianity. And this is true. Several arguments are advanced to prove that under no circumstances can a born-again person have a demon. The most common statement is that a Christian cannot be possessed. This will be discussed later as a misnomer. The arguments in summary run something like this. The believer is inhabited by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, demons cannot coexist within the same body. The proof text usually used is 1 Corinthians 2:12, all these verses we've read. However, the verse does not say this. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, 1 John 3:8, and indeed he did. In the case of problems caused by demons, the remedy and method of doing this is to cast out demons in his name. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to destroy the works of the devil. The struggle inside the believer is also revealed to be the struggle between the flesh and the spirit, and not a struggle involving demons, Romans 6 and 7. Were that the case, the conscientious claiming of the promises of God would solve every human problem. All you got to do is just claim the promises of God. That's just going to take care of every need you've got. No, you may die with your cancer if that's the only approach you take. The believer is delivered from the power of Satan and his demons. Colossians 1, 12 through 13, Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. Yes, but like many other promises, not automatically, but only as we voluntarily meet God's conditions for deliverance. You like the promises in the Bible? Well, how about the conditions? For every promise, there's a condition. You don't meet the condition, you don't get the promise. The Christian is provided with complete protection from the fiery darts of the enemy, Ephesians 6, 6. This overlooks the rather obvious fact that the armor is designed for defense from external, not internal enemies, and also that even so, the believer's armor is not always in place. Do you ever make a mistake? Do you ever have a crack in your armor? I do. I haven't been able to eliminate all the cracks in my armor. In spite of these arguments, the dismay in fact remains that the born-again Christians, including leaders, are having difficulties and problems which can find no solution in natural infirmities or the endless conflict between the flesh and the spirit. There is no secret that many have become discouraged and filled with awful despair. In his tract, Demon Activity in the Christian, Ernest B. Rockstead rightly concludes that experience, of course, is not the basis for interpretation of the Bible. Good point. Do we simply go by experience in deliverance? No. We go by experience and the Bible. If you got the Bible and no experience, what do you know about deliverance? Well, essentially, little or nothing. If you got experience and no Bible, where are you? Probably way out in the left field, maybe half in Satan's camp. So you got to put the two together. Nevertheless, if consistent experiences run counter to an interpretation, the dedicated seeker after truth will set out to find the reason. He must be willing to restudy his interpretation under the direction of the Holy Spirit and be prepared to make any necessary corrections in his own beliefs so as to be in full agreement with the facts as they are. He further points out that understanding the biblical doctrine of human depravity should cause one to wonder that the Holy Spirit would enter a person under any circumstances. You cannot argue anyone into believing that the old fundamental stand against Christians having demons is fallacious. That's what I found out. You can't argue with somebody. Just present to them the Word of God. Just give them the scriptures that I gave you. Tell them to look them up and study them. There is an excellent presentation of the whole question in Don Bashan's book, Can a Christian Have a Demon? Non-charismatic writers like Francis Manuel, Merrill Unger, Mark Bubeck, and Robert Peterson also teach that a Christian can't have a demon. In his very balanced and scholarly treatise, Demons in the World Today, Dr. Unger writes, in demon influence, evil spirits exert power over a person short of actual possession. Such influence may vary from mild harassment to extreme subjection when body and mind become dominated and held in slavery by spirit agents. Christians, as well as non-Christians, can be so influenced. They may be oppressed, vexed, depressed, hindered, and bound by demons. And don't get all bound up in definitions of words. Well, is he oppressed or possessed or you know, don't get involved with all these different levels of words that people use. Dr. Unger is frank to say that he had written in 1952, to demon possession only unbelievers are exposed. 20 years later, he writes, this statement was inferred since Scripture does not clearly settle a question. It was based on the assumption that an evil spirit could not the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the Bible does not say clearly in English, 1988, that a Christian can have a demon. But I think the words that I read to you out of the Bible clearly state that a Christian can have a demon. It was... Okay, Hobart Freeman points out that as a result of erroneous teachings and beliefs, which are based neither upon Scripture or experience, Satan has deluded many concerning the question, can a Christian be oppressed by Satan or possess evil spirits? Can one who has never participated actively in any form of occultism be subjected or oppressed? The answer to both questions is yes, supported both from the Scriptures and experience. All right, when you get saved, when you That may not be a good word, but when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, do all your demons leave you then? No. Now, I wouldn't say God being omniscient, omnipotent, and all-knowing, and I wouldn't say that some of them wouldn't leave. I can't really say that. But I can clearly tell you that all your demons didn't get leave when you accepted Jesus Christ. Derek Prince, in his helpful pamphlet, Expelling Demons, explains the facts linguistically which should help unsnarl the somatic tangle. The New Testament Greek word for demon is daimonion, in the King James Version, often translated devil. Associated in the New Testament with the noun daimonion is the passive verb daimoni zoami. The literal meaning of this verb is to be demoned. You are demon, not demon possessed. That is, in some way under the influence of the power of demons. In the King James Version, this verb is usually translated by some phrase such as to be possessed or to be vexed by demons or evil spirits. However, there is no distinction in the original Greek text to support these translated distinctions. Believers are definitely subjected to demonic attack in the Scriptures. The physical afflictions and other disasters of Job are shown to be Satan's work in Job 1 and 2. How about Job? God says he was a perfect man. Now, if God would call him a perfect man, what do you think he was? Think he believed in God? In the synagogue, there was a man with an unclean spirit, Mark 1:23. A woman called a daughter of Abraham, father of the faithful, was bound with a spirit of infirmity 18 years, Luke 13:11-16. How long have you been bound with your spirit of infirmity? There is no reason to conclude arbitrarily in the two latter cases that the persons involved were not believers. In 2 Timothy 2:23-26, where Paul discusses contention and disputing over doctrine, believers are indicated who have evidently slipped and need to recover themselves from the snare of the devil, who are taken captive of him at his will. Boy, I sure wouldn't want that said of me, that Satan can take me captive at his will anytime he wants to. That sounds bad. A member of the church in Corinth seems to have been overcome by a spirit of lust, 1 Corinthians 5:1-5. Jesus rebuked the spirit of fever in Peter's mother-in-law, Luke 4:38-39, and he left her and she was well. In Mark 3:33 and Mark 9:25, Jesus uses this same term to rebuke Satan. Sickness is described as an oppression of the devil in Acts 10:38, and Jesus often healed by removing spirits of infirmity, which are simply another method of satanic attack. Luke 4:40-41. Consider Peter, who at one moment spoke by divine revelation, declaring that Jesus was the very Christ, and the next moment was reprimanded by Jesus, who rebuked Satan in him, saying, "Thou savorest not the things that be of God," Matthew 16:13-23. Simon the magician was presented as one who believed and was baptized, but had evidently not been delivered from his occult bondage, and was commanded to repent and pray, Acts 8:23-24. How did Satan manage to fill the heart of the believers Ananias and Sapphira? Acts 5:3. Paul himself reports he suffered buffeting from a messenger of Satan, 2 Corinthians 12:7. You know, over and over again, the Bible gives stories of the Christians or believers being buffeted by demons. Dr. V. Raymond Edmond, the late president of Wheaton College, wrote the following in answer to a question as to whether or not a Christian can have a demon. The unguarded Christian may have demon possession in the soul, which would affect mental processes and emotions, or in the body, as was the case of the woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bound together and could in no wise lift up herself. Luke 13:11. Of her, the Savior said when he healed her, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan hath found low these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" To say that a Christian cannot be demonized in any area of his life is a happy but inaccurate generalization. One of the beautiful things I like about coming up here and ministering to people, we get to see people healed and delivered who may have been in afflictions for many years. This is really a blessing to me. It's really a blessing to see signs and wonders and miracles follow the preaching and teaching of the Word. Paul reproves the Corinthian Christians for receiving another spirit than the spirit they had previously received. 2 Corinthians 11:4. Okay, when I say a spirit, that's a demon. The demons don't like to be called demons. They'd rather be called spirits. Spirit of anger. No, he's a demon of anger. Paul inquired in Galatians 3:1 about who had bewitched the believers to draw them away from the truth. Who has bewitched you? Robert Peterson makes an interesting comment. It appears that the full force of the deceiving spirits is directed against the spiritual believer in doctrinal rather than worldly matters, although the latter may be used after the believer has been ensnared by the most subtle means. In 1 Timothy 4, 1-2, the Apostle Paul gives a full account of how wicked spirits attack the spiritual believer and by deception beguile him away from the faith through the use of false prophets. I believe in prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. I believe in prophets. But beware of falseness. Satan has a counterfeit for everything that God has. Don Basham sums up the matter when he writes that there is an almost universal sense of fear and loathing about the whole subject of Satan and the evil spirits. Many believers have adopted the fallacious idea that if they ignore Satan, he will ignore them. Scripturally, such a position is indefensible. 1 Peter 5, 8-9, James 4:7, 2 Corinthians 2:11. Well, many Christians are afraid of demons, afraid of Satan. You don't have to be afraid of demons or afraid of Satan. When the power of God begins to move in a person's life, he quite naturally becomes an object for the demon's most crippling attacks. Deliverance is all out spiritual warfare. I invite you and encourage you to get in deliverance. You don't have to be a deliverance minister. I just believe every Christian ought to be casting out demons. But it's all out spiritual warfare. But God gives you the tools and the weapons to fight back. The unreasoning fear of demons is fostered and promoted by Satan and his host directly. Basham concludes that a Christian can be tormented or afflicted by evil spirits in some area of his life and still be a sincere Christian. Just as he can be tormented by physical sickness and still be a sincere Christian. If you got cancer, arthritis, does that mean you're not a Christian? Well, suppose you're addicted in some area of your body. Let's say you're addicted to alcohol. Does that mean you're not a Christian? It is always a blessing to see truths, not mere speculations in print concerning spiritual warfare. I shudder when I hear someone remark skeptically, "Well, I just can't believe that. I'd have to see it first." They seek to shield themselves by mere ignorance. For myself, I had no real problem believing in a personal devil and in the fact that demons can infest both lost and saved as they have the opportunity. To me, it was foolish as telling Peter he could not walk on the water when he was already done it. When a person is born again by confessing his sin and asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come into his heart and save him, Romans 3:23-24, 6:23, Revelation 3:20, he has received by the Father and salvation comes instantaneously in the experience of the new birth. Love, joy, and peace are the initial logical byproducts. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell and seal the believer as God's earnest of redemption, Ephesians 1:13-14. And his abiding presence is guaranteed until the believer is redeemed in point of time completely by being taken to be with the Lord, whether it be through the door of death or through the door of the sky. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. The Holy Spirit therefore inhabits the body of the believer in a peculiar and special way in these days since Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the assembled believers. The child of God, John 1:12, is accepted in the beloved Jesus, Ephesians 1:6, and blessed with assurance of God's presence and blessing, John 10:28-30. In spite of these wonderful changes, however, a week will scarcely pass in a babe's life, assuming that he follows the Lord in Bible study and prayer, that he will not be convicted of some sin of omission or commission, James 4:17, which must be confessed, 1 John 1:9, and put away, Proverbs 28:13. This will continue indefinitely as long as the believer is growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, see, this happens to mature Christians, too. Anybody here that didn't commit a sin today? Don't raise your hand. Okay, to live a sinless life, you have to follow the whole Bible perfectly every moment of your life. I'm not capable of doing that. Many of these sins of omission and commission were present at the time of conversion, and some will lie unnoticed by the believer for months until the Lord deals with them. The Holy Spirit is able to coexist with these unconfessed sins. Why then is it so difficult to accept the fact that the Holy Spirit is able to also coexist with indwelling demons until they are detected, hated, renounced, and expelled in the name of Jesus Christ? Do you hate your demons? Do you hate Satan? Do you hate all sin and iniquity? Do you hate everything that God hates? Well, you should. Otherwise, you're going to love it. You're going to tolerate it. Leave it in your life. Now, I went through a lot of things, different references, mainly just to help you to understand this. It's really very clear to me, and it's very simple. Christians can and do have demons. They can and do have many demons. They're very demonized, demonied. Okay, so it's just a way of life. So now, I think there's enough in here to persuade you. Anybody in here that, just, I'm going to take a poll now. Is there anybody in here that still believes that a Christian can't have a demon? Raise your hand. Now, don't lie to me. If you really believe a Christian can't have a demon, raise your hand. Be honest about it. Okay. Was there enough in there to... I really was not trying to persuade you so much as the people that receive this tape. This tape goes all over the world. There have been many people that receive these tapes that believe part of Christianity, but they don't believe the part about a Christian having a demon. Do you think there's enough in this tape to help someone understand that? That will take their Bible and sit down and look at it? That was my purpose today. I realize that most of you are Christians. I'd say all of you are Christians, probably. Most of you are full gospel Christians. A lot of you come in deliverance. So the lesson is not so much for you, although this will help you. Now you can take this and go help other people. How many people are you going to come into contact with that say, well, you're crazy. You believe a Christian can have a demon? How many times have you heard that? They'll tell you that. Okay, so this gives you some ammunition to go out and teach others. If they want to hear, if they don't want to hear, then don't bother with them. Pray for them, but don't try to argue with them. Don't try to persuade them. Just share with them what you've learned. Okay, praise the Lord. I guess we're ready for some deliverance now. If y'all excuse me, let me drink a little water here. Why don't everybody stand up? Let's stand up and get the kinks out of your mind and out of your body. Take a good stretch while I drink some water here. It's been a long message. If anybody needs to go to the bathroom, then feel free to go to the bathroom and come on back in. Don't run away as I get ready to cast the demons out. Okay, praise God. Just keep standing up and stretching. It's I know it's hard on you out there. It's hard on me when I sit for hours. Okay, take a good stretch. Praise God. Is Jesus Lord?
Yes.
Is He your Lord?
Yes.
Is He your Master?
Yes.
Is He your Savior?
Yes.
Are you ready for deliverance?
Yes.
Okay, praise God. Okay, just stand up. Oh, excuse me. And we'll go through a little prayer here. I want you to pray out loud and pray sincerely. Lord Jesus Christ,
Jesus Christ,
I forgive the false teachers that say a Christian cannot have a demon.
I ask God
to forgive me
for believing in false teachers.
Lord, I forgive myself
for the damage that I have done
to myself
and to my family
and to my friends
for practicing false teachings.
Lord, I ask you to forgive all these people
and release them from their sin.
And I release them from their sin.
And Lord, I ask you to show me
so I will not be fooled.
And Lord, I realize
that I'm going to have to walk close to you
because so many of the leaders
have been deceived.
And I don't want to be deceived.
Lord, I forgive everyone
who has hurt me
or sinned against me.
I ask that you forgive them
and bless them
with all spiritual blessings.
Forgive me, Lord Jesus,
for my many sins.
I forgive myself
for sins against my body.
Now I break every curse,
every hex,
every demonic tie that binds.
I break every soul tie
brought about by witchcraft
or sexual impurity.
Lord Jesus,
stir up the demons
within my subconscious mind.
Command them to manifest.
Identify and reveal themselves
as unto Jesus.
Lord Jesus,
restore my fragmented soul,
my mind, will, and emotions.
Send your angels out
to recover anything
that Satan has stolen from me.
For it's in Jesus' name I pray.
My Lord, my master,
and my
Savior,
and
I take total authority over Satan
according to the Holy Word of
God. Of course, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Oh, you may be seated. Okay, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come against spirits of rejection. I command you to come out of the people right now in Jesus' name. Now come out, spirits of rejection, fear of rejection, self-rejection, inability to give and receive love, prenatal rejection, conception and lust, touch me not spirits, rejection by the wife or by the husband, by the children, rejection by the mother and the father, rejection by Christian brothers and sisters, rejection by pastors. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All rejection, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now loose them and set them free. Every spirit of rejection, roots of rejection, ruler of rejection, I command you to come out, excuse me, come out of the people right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Now go. All these spirits of rejection, we command you to go. We are not rejected. We are loved. And Lord, I just pray that you'd loose your love upon this people and let them know how much you love them. And send your spirits of love down, Father. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord. We love each other and we love ourselves. Now come out. Come out. All self-rejection, rejection of all types, the whole family rejection, I want you to go. All hurts and deep hurts, we command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. All hurts and deep hurts, we bind your power and drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Every spirit of hurts and deep hurts, now come out. I pull you out by your roots in the name of Jesus Christ. And I remind you, spirits, that you're going to be cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm shall never die and the fire shall never be quenched. You'll be cast in there with your master Satan. You'll be in total loneliness and total despair. You have very little time left. I command you to bow your knee to Jesus Christ and do what he's telling you to do and go where he's telling you to go. Now come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All rejection. All rejection, all hurts, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out. Every spirit of bitterness. I call out bitterness, roots of bitterness, ruler of bitterness. Come out of people. All bitterness, bitter gall, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now go out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. All these spirits of bitterness. Come out. Spirits of resentment, hatred, and unforgiveness. Now go right now in the name of Jesus Christ. All bitterness, resentment, hatred, and unforgiveness. I command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Now go. Right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind your power and I drive you out of them in Jesus' name. Now come out of the people right now. Loose them and set them free in Jesus' name. Now come out, every spirit of violence, temper, anger, retaliation, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Violence, temper, and anger, and retaliation, we command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out of them. Come out of them right now, all these violent spirits. The Bible says, let not the sun set on your anger and give place to the devil. Now come out, spirits of anger. I call out suppressed anger. I call out spirits of suppressed anger in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out. Right now, all anger, all suppressed anger, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now come out, every spirit of murder, suicide, death and fear of death, abortion, death wishes, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Agreement with death, I command you to go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break any death wishes spoken by the husband over the wife in Jesus' name. I break those in the name of Jesus Christ. I drive out those death wishes, spirits of suicide, killer spirits, murder spirits, abortion spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of the people right now. All spirits of bitterness, I command you to go in Jesus' name. I break your power and I drive you out of them in Jesus' name. Now come out, every spirit of rebellion. I call out spirits of rebellion in Jesus' name. Now come out, any and all spirits of rebellion. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. I command you to go in Jesus' name. All rebellious spirits must go in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of them. Loose them and set them free right now in Jesus' name. Come out, every spirit of self-will, selfishness, self-idolatry. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now go. Self-will, selfishness, self-idolatry. Come out. The whole family of self-demons. I command those to go in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirits of stubbornness. Stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. I command those spirits of stubbornness to go in Jesus' name. Come out. Spirits of stubbornness. Spirits of disobedience. Go. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Come out. Every spirit of disobedience. I command those to go in Jesus' name. Now go. Right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Every spirit of disobedience. Come out. Spirits of anti-submissiveness. Unwillingness of the wife to submit to the husband or the husband to submit to God. Come out right now. Spirits of anti-submissiveness, I command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Now come out. We break your power and we drive you out of the people right now in Jesus' name. Now loose them and set them free. Come on, up and out of them.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.